Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 213, episode 5 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. Hey, this is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's Friday, December 3rd, 2021, National Bartender Day. I don't even need to talk to you guys about that. That's We know it. We love it. I don't know. What do we do on National Bartender Day? Just like tip extra well?
Yeah, probably. You know,
okay.
It says show your bartender some appreciation. Tip them extra well. Be the designated driver for your group. Accept the taxi when it's offered. Make their job a little bit easier. I like that they put in there, accept the taxi when it's offered.
Yo, wait, so we're putting bartenders in charge of preventing drunk driving deaths?
Sadly, because then they can come back to you for over-serving somebody, you know. I've worked in that sphere before. Yeah, like, it's wild. People, they take that shit like it's almost worse than calling a white person racist. It's telling a drunk person they need a taxi. It's like, what the yeah. fuck you say? Fucking
oh, man.
Taxi, bro.
And you're like, I've had friends whose reaction to me telling them they can't drive drunk was similar to that dude who got elbowed by LeBron James and just like kept,
oh, just came, oh, like, yeah, I'm okay, kept I'm okay. Coming,
yeah, had to be held back by like six people, like then would pretend he like had, we had talked sense into him, and then like do a head fake and then run for the car. So
the
yeah.
best move though you do to avoid that is you just take their key, because they're so drunk they don't know, you just hide them shits, and then you,
know,
and then
know
you fuck with them
were.
Be like, yo, you must have misplaced them shit.
Right. Oh fuck, man, I can't find my keys.
You're like, bro, just chill, we'll find it in the morning. And then you put that shit in their jacket pocket when they wake up, and they're like, oh, it was here the whole
they're
time.
They're all along.
Save a life.
All right. Well, hey, my name is Jack O'Brien, yeah. a.k.a. I got brine on it. All these sides and no turkey. Ooh. I got brine on it. Lemon, thyme, and rosemary. I got brine on it. Salty pink, but still tasty. I got brine on it. I just saved our Thanksgiving. Ooh. That is courtesy of Warren the Werebear. Really just giving me the perfect song accompaniment to the video you know, it's feature length video of my preparation of the Thanksgiving turkey that I'm making for our family. Dramatic, a lot of recreations of people saying I couldn't do it. Really, hero, the word hero wasn't thrown around enough when I was making the turkey, but it will be in this film that I'm making. Okay. Anyways, thank you, Warren. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Supreme Court's a fucking dumpster fire. Inflation nipping at your toes. Yuletide Karens threading hate, man, it's dire. Plus white folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows that shit is racist as fuck. Okay, shout out to Lockeroni on the Discord. Hitting us with that Nat King Cole Christmas song tweak of an AKA. I just want to say I know you wrote a very long AKA. I just like at the very end, though, this joke that you put. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, if you're 93, fuck you. Love it. Yo. Love it. Chef's hell fucking yeah. Kiss.
Mwah. That's beautiful. Yeah. Well done. Well executed vocals. I got to say, five stars, man. Out of 5 stars.
Thank you.
All around. What a joke at the end there. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat, Miles, by a very talented comedian and writer who you know from her podcast, What's Your Favorite Taylor Swift Song? Please welcome the hilarious and talented Ellie McElvey!
Wow, thank you. It is so thrilling to be here. I've wanted to do it for years.
I know, and your work always kept you away, and we found the time to get you on. Full transparency, Ellie and I, we go way back.
Okay.
Seven years back mm-hmm. from when we worked on YouTube Nation back in the day.
And then YouTube Nation.
And then you went to college with Her Majesty.
Yeah. Wow. Besties with Her Majesty. Yes. Get jealous.
Oh my goodness.
People don't know.
Wow.
And then, and look at you now. It's great to have you on. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, so I just, you said you might know her from her podcast. Absolutely not. It just launched, but.
Thank you, Kendrick.
I'm trying to tap into that Swiftie market. I'm a Swiftie. It's called What's Your Favorite Taylor Swift Song? But this has been the first time in my life that I've like gone out on my own, and I'm 100% working freelance. I'm doing some weird jobs, and it's so fun. Yeah. I love it. Podcasting is fun.
It is, especially when you get to talk about shit that you like.
We're getting good reviews from people who are doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, what more do I want to talk about than Taylor Swift? Almost nothing else. Just kidding.
I mean, Harry Styles, maybe, knowing you.
Yeah, actually, I have a wide range of,
I was gonna say,
like, passions and tastes.
Harry might be the other one.
I did save the @ on social media for my podcast. It's WYFTSS or variations on that.
Right.
And I did save the @ for WYFHSS in case I ever want to expand.
There you go.
When you want to get hairy with it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing people already having What's Your Favorite Taylor Swift Song as their number one on Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah. Thanks.
I think it was your mom, but that's still
pretty
dope.
Sure. That pretty sure it was my mom.
Okay.
I got 2 DMs from fans of the show who said that it made their top 5.
Hey.
I don't know if these are like hardcore podcast listeners, though. So.
But I think at the end of the day, like, you know, you're talking about something you're like a you know fucking Taylor. Like, I don't know shit, I got to ask you, I'm like, what's the album? What's this new stuff going on? And then you help me understand.
You've occasionally come through for expert advice.
Yeah. You know, here and there, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait,
and do you reveal what yours is, or is it just,
no.
That's the ultimate secret?
Shit. That's that the no big, one will that's ever the know. Big Series mystery finale. Of the podcast. I'll never confirm.
Damn. Wow.
You could probably guess based on things that I say. Well, okay. I mean, if I'm being honest, like, gun right to my head, you ask me what my favorite Taylor Swift song is, I'm going to choke. You know, like,
wow.
right,
I
right.
So many of them matter so much to me for different moods, places, times in my life.
You What's your favorite Taylor Swift song to turn up to? Gun to your head right now. You got to turn up to Taylor
All Too Well 10. All Too Well 10.
Okay. See?
I knew it.
It's got to get specific. I get that feels better. Like if you're going to turn up, if you're going to maybe cook some dinner, if you're going to have people over, ambiance. Right. Is there even an ambient Taylor song?
Like not that, really. That's the one thing that she doesn't do is you really can't just have her on in the background. Right. Like maybe if you're like shopping at Ross Dress for Less or something like that.
Yeah,
like she's not a background song. Like if I'm listening to Taylor Swift, I am listening to Taylor Swift. That's like what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just rubbing your chin with like a notepad.
Like, it's like me, hands on my cheeks being like, and so for those who's my eyes were just like bugged out with my hands on my cheeks.
Oh, I saw that when you went to the Harry's show at the Forum, right?
Yeah.
Who was, you said, I saw a pic, somebody had a Google LASD gang sign at the Harry Styles show, but like all be glittered and shit. Do you know who that was?
Yeah, she found me. I posted it on my Instagram and she commented, shoot, what's her name? I mean, she was like so humble about it.
Right. I just love that.
But like she said, she was carrying it in and some girl commented like, I can't believe that didn't get taken away. And she was like, I hid it from the cops at the Forum.
Right.
There you go.
And it's like done in such an like aesthetic of like bright colored construction paper that if you didn't look at it, you'd be like, wait, hold on. What that shit say? Google LASD gangs. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Mm.
Shout out to Cerise.
There it is.
Yeah, this girl, KT Barr. Or her name is, Katie Barr. Shout out Katie Barr. Shout hottest Katie girl Barr. At the Harry Styles show.
Yeah,
there you go.
Cerise Castle.
Yeah.
Shout out Knock LA.
Yeah, all shout out Cerise. Shout out Knock LA. Really important investigative work. And like I saw like teen girls coming up to her and being like, what is that? And so I think we got some Harry stans finding out.
Radicalizing some Styles fans.
Okay, but I will say that Harry Styles marched in the BLM protests last June and like for years, there was a contingent of young black fans of Harry Styles who were trying to push him to say a word about BLM. And they were like on his case for years, way before the George Floyd stuff. And so I also want to shout out the section of Harry Styles fans who have been trying to get him on this train for a long time.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Shout out fandoms. They work in blessed ways sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a blessing. Smart. It can be a curse. But I often find it really interesting and cool and more often than not positive.
Mm-hmm. It's also very smart to go after like the most motivated fan bases on the internet and be like, hey, you might want to Google this.
LASD games.
If you haven't already.
Yeah.
They're like, does it have to do with Harry? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
In a way.
In the way that it has to do
with all of us.
Yeah.
Like hegemony is sort of all encompassing. So, yeah.
Hey. I love it.
All right, Ellie, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about the Omicron. Is that how we're pronouncing it? Strain of the, what's it called? Coronavirus, I think they're calling it. So we're going to just talk about that, do a quick update there. We're going to talk about Mark Meadows. We're going to talk about Dr. Oz, all the greats, all the hits. We're going to talk about how you can now rent the fucking McAllister home for one night on Airbnb. And it actually looks like the McAllister home on the inside, which is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some conservative children's books that we got heading our way. Speaking of recruiting people, that's the recruiting technique that the conservatives are going with. So we'll talk about those. All of that, plenty more. But first, Ellie, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, I've got a bummer one and I've got a fun one.
Yeah.
So pick your poison.
Bummer.
Bummer, first off?
Yep.
Okay, how to become a midwife. And then like connected to that, like safe DIY abortion.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know we're not tackling on the pod. And you guys have already been talking about it. I mean, it's DZ.
I mean, it's very much in the front of the consciousness of the entire, not in the entire country, given how little effort I'm seeing from leadership.
Right.
Do anything about it. But yeah, it is one of those things, again, underlining that, oh shit, once again, I think we've been shown that we're going to have to rely on each other for a significant amount of time if this is the status quo.
Right. I mean, already because of certain states that make it really, really difficult, Texas in particular, there is a lot of really cool innovation happening with like abortion pills by mail and stuff like that. But like, I've been talking to my friends. I've had an abortion. I have many friends who have had abortions. When we're looking at the future of this overturn, we're like, I'm going to uproot my life to help people with this. Because if I hadn't had an abortion, I went to the rally and I had a sign that said, my abortion saved my life. And my caption was like, it's a real trolley problem for you. like, if I hadn't had my abortion, I don't think I'd be here, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I would have finished the pregnancy. I don't think I would have survived it mentally. Do you know what I mean? And there's so many stories. There's so many, you know, people are putting their lives and their trauma on the line to talk about this stuff. And I'm just like, can't I learn how to do abortion safely? How can I help? I feel when it's at the Supreme Court level, you feel so helpless. And I have a brilliant uncle, shout out Uncle Joel, who works at the DOJ. And he has been talking to me about like his, like these brilliant lawyers are working really hard to try and fight these abortion bans, and before it got to this point, but he was straight up with me, like, it's not looking good in terms of where the Supreme Court is right now. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah, you look at those majorities and you're like, okay, 6-3, that doesn't look good at all. And then meanwhile, you have like all this like lip service being paid from like people like Susan Collins, who are like, I said I would make sure Brett Kavanaugh didn't get gut Roe v. Wade. And now she's like trying to be like, we're going to try and figure something. It's like,
make sure how? Do you have a sex tape on him or something? Like,
do you have
I don't
a fucking
think
time
so.
Machine?
Yeah. Right. I'm like, unless I'm you mad do, at everyone. Shut up. I'm mad at Ruth Bader Ginsburg for not stepping down under Obama. I'm mad at everyone.
I'm mad at Obama for not doing, for appointing somebody.
Push through Merrick. What the fuck? Sorry.
Yeah. But anyway, no, but I think that's sort of the situation, right? Because we're looking at something where something that seems so common sense is being hijacked by religious extremism of one very specific form of a religion to then be like, okay, now that's, we're pushing that on everybody now.
Yeah.
I'm seeing people talk about the filibuster. Is that something that they could use to then push through, like pack the court? Is that basically the thinking there?
If they haven't done it now,
right?
You know.
Well, but this seems like a pretty big one. It's I don't know. This seems like kind of a big one.
It's quite literally life or death for a lot of people who can have, you know, pregnancies.
Yeah. And also wildly unpopular what they're planning to do.
But when you have people like, you know, when the president's like, God, we got to figure this stuff out. It's like, why don't you fucking lead, asshole? Right. If like, why don't you like literally march, kick down the Supreme Court and be like, I mean, not to say that that's all legally possible, but like show some energy here. And if that's true, if you really wanted to codify Roe into law, then start saying those words out loud and how that needs to happen. Because that's where right now I think there's a big messaging gap. Or just a lack of enthusiasm. And I think a lot of people are left to sort of understand like what's going to be the final sort of outcome.
Well, elected politicians hate, you know, riding for abortion rights. And I get it. Like on a numbers basis, I get that it is so divisive or whatever. But like,
but 60% of people, you know what I mean? Like 2/3.
Yeah, but that number changes in different regions. I get that, whatever. But it's like, just show up for abortion rights.
Yeah.
It's such a fundamental. Anyway, so that's the bummer one. Do you want to hear the fun one?
Yeah.
My literal last Google search was, when exactly did Taylor Swift write "I Knew You Were Trouble"? Like, I was trying to find it, and like all of the journalism about it, and there is journalism about it. LA Times was like, Taylor Swift says "I Knew You Were Trouble" was about Harry Styles, and I'm like, that's not true. This is surface level reporting. Let's crack into it. Google gave me nothing. And then I asked the fans, like I just went to Twitter and I was like, can anyone give me dates on when she might have actually sat down with Max Martin and Shellback and write "I Knew You Were Trouble"? And I get linked this insane Google Doc that has all of the chronological timeline of like when she was writing what, pictures of her going into and leaving studios with certain producers.
Wow.
Everything. It's psycho. And it goes all the way back to when she was like 12 and she was first putting out demos. And according to that, she wrote it in like January of 2012, and she didn't meet Harry Styles until like March of 2012. So it's not about him, and that's important to me.
Yeah.
There you go. Of course. Yeah, that's an intersection of your fandoms right there that you had to get to the bottom of. I get that.
So who was she dating at that time? Do you know?
Well, this is like directly after the Jake Gyllenhaal relationship, but I do think that song is about John Mayer because it has that element of feeling like you've been through it and you processed it. Mm. She has a line that's like, and I can see now the blame is on me. And she like never says that. Ever. but that's on my episode that was released this week as I Knew Your Trouble with guest Pat Buteau, who is my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Saucy stuff.
Saucy stuff.
But anyway,
also, I get a more of a I knew you were trouble vibe from John Mayer. I just feel like you see that guy and you're like,
she was getting warned about him. Her mom was saying, don't do it. And then she did.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson's like shaking her head like, no.
Yeah, behind her and giving her the throat slash.
Run, Taylor.
Run and never look back.
You want a career like mine?
Go, Air Bud, go. Get out of here, Air Bud.
Get out of here. They leave Air Bud on that
go
island.
Go on, Git.
One Git. I think he just like lets him off leash and tells him to run away.
Oh, the typical,
come on, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Right. Yeah.
I can't quit you, Air Bud.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay. I know you guys have mentioned, you talked about it on this week, but Spotify Wrapped.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was of two minds. It's either overrated or perfectly rated, depending on like what your timeline is like. I think it's fun. And I was thinking it was really fun, except I have some questions about my numbers. I think some of the data is off.
In what like, sense?
Lord was in my top five, and I love Lord, and I love Lord's back catalog, but I hated the new album, so I was like actively not streaming her this year. And she was like my number three, allegedly my number three most streamed artist, and that just doesn't feel right to me.
Are there playlists maybe it was coming on passively, like you weren't intending to play it, but you're just rocking with some playlists and it was on there? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I do listen to Melodrama a lot, so it's possible. But okay. I don't know. And then I found out that there's this intern, this girl who used to intern at Spotify, her name's Jewel, who tweeted and she was like, me watching the Spotify rap knowing that I pitched this as an intern and I'm getting like $0 from it. And it's like, it's just classic. And she's really cool about it. She's like, I get it. I'm not trying to litigate this or anything like that. But here's my pitch deck. And if you look at her pitch deck, it looks exactly like how all the slides look for the new interactive Spotify Wrap. Because she pitched it when they did Spotify Wrap where it was just a link.
Yeah,
you get like a list or whatever.
Right.
And this pitch deck is like this incredible, like just exactly the genius brain thing a 22-year-old would who's super fluent with social media would come up with. And, you know, Spotify has a statement that's like, we get a lot of ideas from, you know.
Oh, shit.
It's just like,
we hear a lot of ideas a lot of the time. Yeah. So.
And Jewel's okay. She's like presenting at Art Basel this weekend or something like that.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah, she's cool. She's doing it. But it's still like the ethics of internships and whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And also apologies for everyone because I'm spamming the fucking timeline with retweets.
Well, I do think it's nice. I do really like that they have the podcast section because I really like using Spotify for podcasts more than Apple podcasts. I always thought that was like annoying. And making podcasts big on Spotify is good. And this year, everyone tagging their favorite creators and stuff, it rules. I think that's nice. That's not overrated, but
I wish I had. I just use the iHeartRadio app, so I don't really get those metrics, but I think it's coming down the road. I think eventually, right?
Is that you just like being an iHeartRadio good company boy, or
no, it's just the best app, and iHeartRadio is number one for audio, so it's pretty obvious.
Oh, I love
it's
that. Yeah, I love iHeartRadio.
Wherever you get your podcast. Wherever you get your podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm just kidding. I'm on the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, please, just kidding. Yeah,
please
don't
shadow ban me.
Oh, you thought, I was kidding because, of course, we all use iHeartRadio.
Oh, that's right. I'm not seeing your podcast come up on the iHeartRadio app anymore, Ellie.
No. Also, iHeartRadio, if you want a Taylor Swift podcast.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
What is something you think is underrated?
Okay, fancy nails. I got my first Gel X extensions. Okay. And I'm different now. I'm a new person.
Okay, 2 Chainz. Yeah.
And I always thought that like acrylics were more trouble than they were worth. I was like, you can't pick things up or whatever. This seems hard, and then they're expensive and whatever. But there's new technology in nails. So this is sort of like a step down from acrylics, but a step up from just your normal nail. And it was so easy, and it's been so fun. I mean, I was sending off some clunky texts in the first hour or two, but I'm adapting. And I feel like look at who is she?
Oh, they look amazing.
You keep bringing him into a frame, and I'm like, okay, stunter. Like, get it, Stunner S. Thompson over here.
Yeah, I feel amazing. Like, I feel like I walk with better posture now.
Yeah. There is something, your nails do feel like very, like that shade of red, it's making you feel like an authority on something.
Yeah, thank you. And like, you know, like women, you know, people who really like take care of themselves and do all that high maintenance stuff of nails, hair did, nails did, et cetera, like that Drake song. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get it. Like, I don't normally go super high femme with stuff, but because I'm just lazy. But I got this done and I feel better and I feel like I'm more.
Yeah. Go nab you a billionaire who's on their deathbed.
Yeah.
Their money. Be like, I did that shit so passively.
There you go.
Going out on a date with a male ballerina tomorrow.
Hey.
Wow.
Is that called a ballerino?
Ballerino. That's what he said.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
What?
It somehow sounds way more Italian that way.
Right?
Ballerino.
Like, yeah.
I think he's from Jersey, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. do tell. I'll have
Tony
to get the
Ballerino.
Update. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Your extensions look great. And I agree. That seems to have been a huge breakthrough that I don't see mentioned like in the zeitgeist a lot, but. Yeah,
the Gel X.
My wife talks about the Gel X is like a constant point of like these are great. These make your nails a little bit brittle, but they're fucking awesome. Just it's big, it's huge.
Yeah, okay. I mean we're not like hunting and scavenging for our food anymore. Like I don't need my nails to
You'll
be
fine.
Strong.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
And these days, I open a beer with a car key.
Oh, so, I did try to open a pop can, and it didn't go well.
Oh, yeah. See, that's where you might need that little, you know, adapter or something that bartender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Go. Find a bartender
and thank them.
National bartender.
Like, can you open this, please?
Yeah. Please. I'll get a taxi if you ask me to.
All right. There you go, miss.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk Omicron.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. And yeah, it just seems like the main thing people are talking about, other than the impending loss of reproductive rights in America, is the Omicron varietal of coronavirus, which, yeah, I just like I've heard people say various things that are panic inducing. So I just wanted to like do a quick run through of what we know and what we don't know, which is a favorite catchphrase of ours from election season.
What is in that Mueller report?
We just don't know. What it was, the Mueller report.
What's in the Mueller report?
And that was not great news, it turned out.
It was sundowning Batman's diary. You're like, oh, no, this is not good.
God, that's what I, in the thing about like conservative books that we'll maybe get to later, I was writing that I feel like that whole thing about like RBG is my queen and like all the like culture stuff from the Trump, like the sort of lib culture stuff from the Trump administration, like now feels like wild dated, and the Mueller thing probably the most dated, being like Mueller is fucking Batman, dog. Mueller is like so hot. I would fuck Mueller.
Yo, lib okay. Canonizations are just peak cringe though. Like it's like that is not it, fool. And you're further underlining why you don't. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. So, I just don't. Yeah, I don't think we should have crushes on any of our elected officials or whatever. Yeah,
especially people who headed up the FBI.
Yeah,
maybe not great.
But he looks like my grandpa.
Yeah, when he started talking, that was one of the wildest things ever.
You're like, who, me?
What? You're supposed to be like, you got Mueller. And yeah, like talk like a fucking 1950s like film noir private
like gumshoe.
Yeah.
Look what I got here. Like, see, hello. Trump was in a whole lot of malarkey.
He was a fucking, he was an old prospector instead.
Yeah, anyway.
All right. So
but we don't know about Omicron. We don't.
The one thing we know about Omicron, based on structure, it seems more likely to be contagious because it's got, and I'm going to quote from multiple articles I saw, more viral grappling hooks.
Cool.
That metaphor in multiple proteins. Places, so let's go with it. But yeah, it seems to be spreading pretty rapidly in South Africa, which is why people are panicking. But there are some pretty big unknowns that I feel like should give us, I guess, not necessarily hope, but at least like patience, like pump the brakes before we decide to panic.
Mm-hmm.
So what one thing that we've talked about from the beginning of this, and it doesn't seem like it's come to bear thus far in this pandemic, but many viruses, as they mutate, get more contagious but less deadly, with the idea being that the more deadly or dangerous the like variant or the mutation, the more likely the virus is to like, you know, kill the host quickly, knock them down so they can't leave their house and spread it. Like Ebola is the best example of this, super deadly to the point that it would kill people very quickly and they wouldn't be able to kind of pass it on. And it was also pretty evident. Like nobody was just like going to work with a
with Ebola,
like case of Ebola. Yeah,
hot like zone, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. But and then the sort of alternate side of this is the cold virus, which, you know, doesn't really kill many people or really knock you down so hard that you stay home from work or school. So you've just got a lot of carriers out and about and sneezing on people and things. And so that is why it's like just been with us and is the most omnipresent virus. So some people are thinking slash hoping that's what's happening here. And one kind of detail that I found that made me slightly hopeful is that so one thing they're doing is testing the wastewater in South Africa, which is gross, but it's a good way of finding out like just how much of this virus is in the population. And it's fucking everywhere. Like, it's really like they were shocked by how widespread it is. But we're not seeing a lot of people reporting like being sick with it, which, you know, could be that it's just a lagging indicator, like that they just haven't developed symptoms yet. Or it could be that it's a milder disease and that even though it's everywhere, only like not that many people are actually getting sick and going to the hospital. We also don't know if like previous vaccines, like how well they're going to work on it. But, you know, I think the big unavoidable factor that should give us hope or would give us hope if we lived in a more like just global society is that we have vaccines, mm-hmm. better vaccine technology to create vaccines that adapt to new variants. And we now have medication to treat people who have already caught the disease and, you know, are sick with the disease. Like, and they're in pill form and not shots, which seems like that should make it much easier to distribute. So I think just the main takeaway for me as of right now is we need to get our governments and corporate overlords to let people have those tools because we have the tools to fight this no matter what. It's just a matter of like we don't have the people in power who are willing to use those tools.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's plenty to pump the brakes on the panic. I think that's what even like the White House was just saying for the very similar thing. It's like, look, we're watching it. You know, I think the White House is just now recommending that they're trying to get rapid tests for people as quickly as possible and have insurance cover that. Because, yeah, I mean, I think that's also been a just part of the strategy in this country that's been lagging like epically, that getting a test or having an at-home test is like, you have to go on StockX to fucking buy one because they're so rare at the moment.
Yeah.
Or you got to go to like a clinic and like take a huge chunk out of your day or time out of your day to do that. So, yeah, you know, I'm just waiting and hoping for the best, you know,
waiting and hope
that just waiting and hoping. Don't want to jump to conclusions quite yet. But,
yeah, I will say that like it seems like we have the tools to handle this, but Omicron does sound like the big boss. Like at the end of a video game. Like it sounds scary.
They gave it too cool a name.
Like who decides on these names? It feels like there should be a little bit more market research into how scary that sounds.
Right.
Or maybe people do need to be scared, or maybe they don't. I don't know.
It's the Greek alphabet. But they went from
the Greek alphabet.
They skipped a letter though. So it was like beta, which we were like, this ain't shit. We can take this motherfucker down.
Yeah. I'll steal your girl.
Delta. Yeah. But then they skipped to Omicron because they were like, ooh, that sounds like the villain from a Transformers movie.
We're not
going
to do Epsilon, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they skipped new because they didn't want people to get confused by being like the new variant.
Right.
And then the next one would have been XI, which they would have been like conflating that with like Xi in China. So they're like, okay, let's go to Omicron because the other two are just going to confuse the fuck out of people and give people too much weird shit to like rhetorically.
Sounds like weaponize. A villain in like the Transformers movie or something. Right. So
it's definitely a Pokemon, like, you know, evolved Pokemon for sure.
Yeah, Omicron. Yeah. Got a bunch of like boulders on his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Just spike proteins, you know what I mean? Grappling hooks.
Grappling hooks, yeah.
We did want to just shoot down real quick any hope anybody had that Mark Meadows was going to like be any sort of help in anything, because we talked about how his book's coming out that reveals that Trump tested positive for COVID before, like, meeting with a bunch of Gold Star families. Like, basically, just he endangered a bunch of people's lives. The media was like, whoa, that's a big bomb drop. And then he just walked his ass out onto Newsmax to, you know, clear up exactly what he meant by this. Pretty straightforward. Seems like a book should give you enough time to make it pretty clear what happened. But what are we hearing from Mark now?
I mean, look, yeah, Trump got angry. And when you see someone just jump to Newsmax, oh boy, it means that maybe somebody's got some explaining to do. And in this case, it was indeed Mark Meadows who just said, oh, that book that said he was sick. Okay, let me clear that up.
Meadows, the author of The Chief's Chief, joins us now to talk more about that. You've been a popular guy in the last week or so. Mark, it's good to see you. I want to start off with the COVID story. The media is going nuts with the story. I believe the president says it's fake news. What is the story here?
Well, the president's right. It's fake news. If you actually read the book,
your story,
the context of it, that story outlined a false positive. Literally had a test, had two other tests after that that showed that he didn't have COVID during the debate, and yet you know, the way that.
Let me just stop you there, Mark. Good boy.
Yeah, it was a false positive. Yeah, like, shut up.
No. We also, again, many people confirmed his accounting of it. And, like, the way he was saying, like, hey, they're ignoring that there were also that he had had a negative test. But the media wasn't ignoring that at all. They've laid everything out there.
It's noted.
Right. And also, he eventually did test positive immediately after the debate. And a lot of people at the time were like, wait, when did he first find out that he had a positive test? So, like, there were already signs that y'all were lying at the time and that you knew what you were doing was not what you should have been doing.
Right. 100%.
And in his book, doesn't he say, like, he, or no, I think it was people, like, found pictures of him addressing people and he, like, has this, of Trump addressing people and Mark Meadows, like, has his head in his hands. He's like, oh, fuck. We're so fucked. He's kidding.
The president's right. My book is false, so don't buy it. Whoops.
You're right. Yeah. It is fake news.
You can't trust these jokers as far as you can throw them. That's true.
Wait, you're the author of the book, right? Right. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. No. I'm an untrustworthy source. So please,
I'm a stupid fucking idiot.
No, and here's the thing: the president is right. I'm an ignorant little asshole. So,
I'm a dumb, dumb cuck.
Yeah, I'm a dumb fucking cuck.
I would have been great if he...
I'm a soy boy. I'm the furthest thing from based, you know?
It would have been great if he was clearly reading from, like, a list of things that the president told him to say about himself.
Right.
Because
He
was doing that, but I just wish it was a little clearer.
I have a glass jaw, probably. I bet I couldn't. I probably couldn't take a punch in a fight. I'd probably go down real easy.
They don't have a term for me because micropenis does not cut it. It is actually inside my body.
It's just right. Yeah. He, again, like you're saying, Jack, like, if this is what this guy is doing after he went for his cash grab, I mean, book, to try and make a little bit of money, that he would just about face, go out there and be like, yeah, that's all a lie, basically.
Right.
What is that? Truly, like, what does that mean when he has to go to the January 6th principal's office up on Capitol Hill to go give testimony to that committee? I don't know. I'm not sure what he's going to say. Like, I guess in the most terribly optimistic sense, it's that he's trying to, like, walk the line up until the last moment where he's like, I just got to get to that point. Then I'll be the hero at the January 6th thing. I'll get my name back and then I can be off this. But this does not look like that's even close to what's happening here.
I'd love to see him give himself a Trump nickname, like that Trump, like Narc Meadows or something.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Are these, like, Trump guys, like, when they say they want, like, public, they want to be back in the public good graces, or they're making moves to do so, like, but, like, do they really care about that? I don't know. It's so strange to me, all of these, like, moves to be considered. Oh, no, actually, I thought Trump was bad, but, like, all your buddies don't.
Right, all the rehab. I mean, it all depends on how, you know, you see it in many different ways. Like, people get that if you're not big enough, like, a lot of former staffers are like, shit, I can't get a job fucking anywhere in DC right
now. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was wondering, I have so little context for like sort of the DC, how things work. You would think that they would be pretty numbed to the idea of the way people crisscross those lines, but I guess Trump sort of changed everything.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, but most, yeah. but the higher profile people aren't having trouble at all. That's for sure.
Right.
They can keep grifting on the proximity to Trump, you know, for a while, it seems.
I mean, speaking of moves, you'd understand his rehab strategy if you saw his Dancing with the Stars audition tape.
Oh, no.
Mark Meadows has, as Miles puts it, honey in his hips. No, not yet, but that's going to, it's
when
coming.
He comes out.
Yeah.
Doing the lumbata, Mark Meadows. Like, oh,
wait, is this a bit or is this real?
It's a bit. That's the direction Spicer went. So,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's why I was like, wait, I heard about that, but that wasn't him. Okay, sorry. Yeah. Idiot. Yeah. I'm a dumb cuck.
Oh, man. I really hope Trump starts writing his appearances for him.
I just love the idea that he'd have
it
to,
is fake he'd, news.
He'd have to self-own like that on script.
Yeah.
Here's your script. Now go read it, you little fucking puppet cuck.
And
go
so your it. Book is saying that he was reckless after testing positive. Who you're
nope.
talking about? Narc Meadows? That guy's a fucking loser.
What?
Sir,
Mr. Meadows? I'm
Mr.
sorry?
Mr. Meadows, what was that? Yeah,
are you
don't
the third person. That guy's a fucking loser, man. I bet his wife cheats on him all the time with guys with bigger biceps than him. Guys with Christmas hams for biceps is probably what she's into, not me. They call me Noodle Arms Mark. Anyway, what was your next question? The book comes out in 2 weeks. Bookstores everywhere, December 14th.
Just sweating bullets. Just.
But yeah, you've many people like, and that's, but that's what happens. You go and you want to step to Trump, like, and be in proximity. You basically give the keys up to your dignity at that point. So
yeah,
you know, it's but it's a pattern. If you're way too many people are willing to engage in.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the Home Alone house.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and we've covered this a couple times when Airbnb, they're just nailing it in terms of, you know, hitting the sweet spot for getting onto the daily zeitgeist.
Yeah.
So, they know. Yeah, they know how to get Miles' attention, I think.
Oh, 100%.
What's the latest?
It first started Fresh Prince of Bel-Air House. I was like, okay, even though I don't know much about the interior, I love that show, and the idea to sleep in that appealed to me. Then there was the Outcast Dungeon House, where you could go and see where like a lot of early Outcast things are recorded, and you're like, oh, this, okay, that's fucking cool too. And now they're doing it with, as we mentioned already, the McAllister home from Home Alone. And yes, it's the fucking house from the first movie, and like they even have that little fucking brass like messenger guy like statue that was at the front of the steps that gets knocked over.
Yeah,
that shit is there. And so, you know, like with all these, it's really not about like a money making thing. It's typically just to like create buzz, because there's like a new Home Alone movie coming out, because it's only like $25 for a night, and it's like four people can stay there. And
no way.
The proceeds go to a local children's hospital in Chicago.
They should charge more then.
I know. Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
what the fuck?
$25 a night. You're only doing this for like a week.
That's less than like a Super 8.
Yeah, seriously. And then being like, okay, and here's our gift to the children's hospital, a whopping $400. You're like, okay, thank you.
Hey, that's like half an X-ray, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They're like, okay, like we can't even get a kid one IV bag with this.
But the big deal here for me is that the interior actually looks like the Home Alone interior. Yes. I guess they shot it. They did the exterior and the interior match, which is almost never the case, like in any famous like movie or TV home.
Right.
Yeah. Which is wild.
I mean, exactly. So most of the time, and within our document, our other writer, J.M. McNabb, was just like, you know, I just got to point out that this house didn't actually film everything inside this house. They built a fucking, like a two-story set inside of a high school gym because they couldn't fit all the crew and stuff to shoot in the house. However, as I'm looking at these pictures and Jack was looking at pictures, like, no, that's the fucking staircase from the movie. Like, the kitchen is the staircase. And upon further review, they did both. Exactly. So this place gives you a good balance. Like that, when I saw that staircase, I was like, yo, I could see a fucking paint can coming straight from my stupid head right now. And I was like loving it. But like for me, I don't know why this has kicked off such like rabid nostalgia fever in me. Cause like I want to, like I would love to spend the whole Christmas holiday there to be like, it's Christmas. I'm in the fucking McAllister home. Fuck with me. Okay. Yeah. I'm smoking blunts in the fucking attic. Okay. Where Spike used to fucking hang out. But
they do let a tarantula loose in the house before you go to sleep.
They do.
Yeah, they demand that you have to do that. So that
it's been like defanged or something. They said don't trip; it should be fine. But yeah, it's a really, I don't know. It's just like one of those things where I feel like you could do this with a lot of things. Like imagine if they you had regional replicas of this house. I would be like, yeah, I'd go there. I would like to stay there during the holidays just for a quick thing. But
do you know exactly where this McAllister house is?
I don't know exactly where it is, but I'm guessing it's nearby somewhere to central Chicago.
I don't want to brag, but I think it's really close to where I grew up, where my childhood home is, which is Glen Ellyn, Illinois. Yeah, like all the John Hughes movies were shot like in the outside of Chicago's suburbia. And so like the McAllister house and that kind of nostalgia, like, also is like how I grew up. Like it is like
it's in Winnetka.
Yeah, Winnetka. That's where my cousin's.
Okay.
Live. So yeah. I mean it's good stuff. It's like true Americana, you know?
Yeah. No, it really is. It really is. So I don't know why I've like my heart rate, my heart like what heart
well,
rate
you're like an
spiked.
LA boy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, and you know this about me, I love the cold. I like anything not LA, like in the winter. So
yeah. Yeah. And like I tell you or my other like LA friends about my high school experience, like the captain of the football team was dating the head cheerleader. Like,
right.
there were like, you know, people making out under bleacher, you know, it's like so classic, like John Hughes movie,
yeah.
Home Alone, shit like that. You know, it's like, yeah. I come from the middle of the country and I really do, yeah. You know?
I would love to check out Cameron's house from Ferris Bueller's because that was like a very oh. iconic house with like that
yeah.
wild yeah. like garage. Like
Frank Lloyd Wright, like, yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright house or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I think it's in Oak Park or maybe River Forest. One of the Oak Park or River Forest, I yeah. think. But yeah, that's cool stuff. I mean, there's a lot of like wildly cool architecture
yeah.
in the
Island
Chicago
Park
area.
Damn, you're nailing it.
I had...
The Ben Rose house.
That's oh, what they wow. call it. I had no idea that any movie ever used the interiors and like the same interior and exterior because like I knew the Cosby Show exterior that was supposed to be a brownstone in Brooklyn was actually by my apartment in the West Village, like when I lived in New York City. But like they, you know, just used the exterior and obviously right. everything else was a soundstage. And I just assumed movies like did the same thing. So it's kind of
yeah.
cool that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so for Home Alone, I watched the like how movies get made on Netflix or whatever that series
oh,
is.
Oh, the movies
for.
That made us?
The movies that made us.
Yeah.
I think.
Or
on, and they had an episode on Home Alone and they did specify that they had that recreation in the gym so they could do those practical effects.
Right. Oh, like
and
all
not,
the destruction.
Not like
right.
fucking ruin a beautiful home.
Huh.
Right. Yeah.
So they weren't
but,
just
but,
smashing
but they did
through
both.
Walls. Right, right,
like
right.
For like the normal scenes in the beginning, it was a lot of practical sets.
Like I want to fight over slices of pizza and drink a Coca-Cola in that kitchen. You know what I mean?
Out right. of a liter.
Yeah,
out of a
exactly.
Liter.
Just yeah. get disgusting with it. But it's so weird. Like I don't know if there's any other movie where like I'm looking at a home and be like, this is everything I did not have as a child, and that's where I
yeah.
want to be right now.
Yeah. The I mean, doing aww. The fake party with the train set with the cutouts on it, the Michael Jordan cutout
yeah.
would be fun. I kinda like your, you know, what you were getting at when you were like just a big pink can just swinging down on my big stupid head. Like yeah. if this was actually like a like secretly a masochistic like S&M thing where people could go and just get
beat
fucking
fuck
abused by all the different like wet bandit.
The McAllister like, house meets BDSM dungeon.
Yeah. All right. Hear me out.
All right. Yeah.
Sharks, hear me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because you watch that movie. Any one of those
Mark would go for it. He's a little freak.
Yeah, any yeah. one of those like traps that they set, like the amount of TBIs, traumatic brain injuries that the sticky bandits or wet bandits would have gone through, you're yeah. like it also gave me, I remember as a kid, a completely upside down understanding of physics and what like the human body can actually
like
handle.
What you can survive.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like yeah, you should be able to take a fucking paint can being full steam at your face and you won't bleed.
Yeah.
Until like I remember running into like a basketball, like, you know, where the hoop, the post, like where the hoop is sort of secured at a park, like in concrete. And I ran into them shits as a kid and like busted my shit. And I was like, this is not like Home Alone. I remember having like a memory, like
fucking lied to us, man.
Yeah. I remember I got, I was a goalie in soccer and I hit my head fully into the side of the goalpost.
Yeah.
And I remember just being like, oh God, this was not like the cartoon.
Yeah. Right.
Like yeah. I had a bump like it was a cartoon.
Oh right. shit.
But it was so bad. Yeah.
Did it make and that sound when it came out of your head? Did it go?
Yeah, it did. And I was like, where's that coming from?
Uh-oh. What, but Zeitgang, I want to hear like you guys' pitches for fictional locations that you want Airbnb to hit next.
Gattaca.
Gattaca.
I would want to stay in the Mars family, Veronica Mars world, their apartment in San
oh,
Diego.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it's in San Diego, but I would want to stay in it.
Right, yeah. right.
Exactly as it is in the TV show.
I feel like Full House for some reason, even though that's definitely not like what that place.
I feel like that happened, but no.
Yeah, that's again, that's all exteriors too. Like,
yeah, it's just exteriors.
There's nothing that'll match it. That's why I think this really appeals to me, because it's like, it feels so authentic rather than just like a location for exterior shots.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And I think they should, like, somebody should just make it their whole business model to like build these like experience things, since like so much of what like
Levittown, but Hughesville.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Hughesville. That would be Hughesville.
And in any John Hughes film, they have faithful replications of those homes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, Harry Potter world is so huge, and I get it. Like, I love Harry Potter stuff, and I'll admit to that. And like, when you go to Harry Potter world, I took my mom there. I surprised her and got us like fast passes at Universal, and we went to Harry Potter world, and she's a huge Harry Potter fan. She's an adult, so she never thought about going. She walked in, she starts sobbing. She's freaking out. I have a video of her, and she's just going, "Oh my God, a Britney Potts or Hogsmeade." She's like, so cute. And she's flipping out, like crying, "I'm in Harry Potter world."
I didn't think I would ever make it to Diagon Alley.
Literally.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's how I'm going to be on the Star Wars hotel.
When
I step on a ship and I'm like, yep, all right, so I'm just gonna record the podcast from here.
have you been to Disneyland?
They opened up that shit. No. Because I remember in the early days it was really hard to go, then the pandemic hit, and then I'm just like, nah, well, one day. But I will.
Okay.
All right, let's talk really briefly about these conservative children's books that are coming. I feel like this is very reminiscent of like the day how conservatives reacted to The Daily Show, that like they, you know, once The Daily Show, Jon Stewart edition was like done and in retrospect somewhat embarrassing, like in some ways, then they like created their replica of it and it sucked with Gutfeld. But so we... Like, I feel like that's where we're at with, like, our children's books that are, like, about RBG or, like, the Marlon Bundo book from Last Week Tonight, which is actually pretty delightful, and I have both of those on my kids' bookshelf. But I feel like we're past that point where we're, like, just creating these, like, trying to turn people who are, like, politically convenient heroes into, like, children's heroes. I feel like that feels weird in retrospect.
Right.
And yeah, anyways, conservatives, now that it feels weird and bad and like outdated, conservatives are going to start doing it, which seems to be their general, you know, metabolic rate for culture.
Yeah, because if, you know, their whole thing is like, we're letting them indoctrinate our kids, man, with concepts of fairness, equality, you know, mutual aid and responsibility, altruism, reciprocity. What the fuck is next?
Yeah,
you know, like that's really, because when you just boil it down, that's all it is. And and I think because they look at too how much like demographically younger and younger generations are just skewing more and more liberal, progressive, even like socialist, that they're like, fuck it, man. Put a fucking children's book about how Amy Coney Barrett is like a cool person they should look up to, and maybe that'll stem the flow of progress.
So, I mean, they are, first of all, they're trying to, like, it's not just about the Marlon Bundo or RBG books or whatever, like the books about becoming a anti-racist as a baby. They are like trying to get kids' books about Martin Luther King Jr. banned from school libraries. And so on the other side of that is, like you said, Miles, they're dropping a series called Heroes of Liberty.
Oh, good.
Right. And they're debuting with three books about Reagan, Thomas Sowell, and Amy Coney Barrett.
Oh, you love it.
The Amy Coney Barrett book, the cover looks like it's from a Goosebumps thing. It's her reading to her kids. But like one of her kids seems to be like clinging to her arm in like fear and looking at a ghost like off out of the frame, and just like the lighting
that child
is creepy.
Has like sunken eyes.
Yeah, the lighting is also creepy. It really, they just took a picture a painting from like a horror novel and put it on the cover of this. And we're like, yeah, sure.
She looks good, though. She looks like an avenging angel.
Yeah.
Which is ironic.
Yeah. the covers, too, are just no kid. And it shows they don't even understand fucking kids. Like, right. No kid is going to be like, oh, what's this weird, like, John Voight-looking motherfucker book? Oh, it's Ronald Reagan? Cool.
Reagan looks like shit.
Oh, Reagan looks really bad.
Yeah. Like, that was the one thing that he was good at, is looking good. And they made him look like shit in their illustration. And it looks like unfinished paint-by-numbers thing of Ronald Reagan that, like, not even aimed at kids. But they did give it funky font. Where, like, the Ronald and the Reagan are, like, kind of funky. They're not, like, the kerning is off, I guess. Like,
kerning.
Like, yeah.
Thought about in so long. But he looks like you took you made a skin suit of Ronald Reagan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You popped it off. You sort of, like,
got the wrinkles out, tried to whip
got out. The wrinkles out, whipped it out, sort of stretched it, maybe ran it through the wash, let it air dry, and then put it back on Ronald Reagan's skeleton.
Right. Yeah, it's very strange. I tend to agree. This does not look like they have thought this through all that well. And
the logic is also scary, of like the need for it too. Like,
oh yeah,
that they articulate.
Yeah, but yeah, this. So they interviewed on Fox Business Bethany Mandel, who is behind this series of books. And her quote is, I don't think I've ever heard someone like a more ineloquent or poorly thought out critique of like an industry someone's trying to like enter. She says, children's literature is one of those things that people realized this is garbage and indoctrination, and there's never been an alternative that's not garbage itself or indoctrination itself.
Oh,
what's your
God.
Favorite book? What's your favorite book, Miss Mandel? Oh, Where the Wild Things Are.
Right. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? There are so many, like, works of art that are children's books. Like, that. Who hates all children's books?
Like a fucking demonic racist who's hell-bent on upending societal norms by any means necessary with no awareness around how ham-fisted it is.
So, all right. The first thing, the premise we start from, everybody knows we hate children's imaginations, right? Like, fuck that. Am I right? Like, that's
right.
Where
yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, I just
reread Charlotte's Web and it was amazing. Like,
yeah.
As a nearly 30-year-old woman, I was like, I love Charlotte's Web. It's maybe one of my favorite books.
Yeah. Children's books are fucking great. They're nailing it. Like, and when you look at like what they were in the 40s and 50s, they are so shitty. You really appreciate like the work that Dr. Seuss did, because they're, you know, what one of the books that's still around just because of like sheer inertia, because I think it was like the only children's book for hundreds of years, was it's like Pet the Cat. And it's just a cat. And it says, look at the cat, pet the cat. The cat likes when you pet him. Like, that's what children's books were for a long time. It sucked. And this person
rather than like,
yeah,
this is Daryl. And he just bought a lower receiver for an AR on the dark web. When he gets it, he'll be able to make his own assault rifle, because the feds don't know when to fucking take their nose out of shit. It's like, whoa, what the fuck? So shit's not subtle either. And like the people that they want to continue with, right? Fucking Margaret Thatcher?
Yes.
And Rush Limbaugh?
Rush Limbaugh, because...
Wait, is that really listed?
Yes. Yes.
Publisher claims that Limbaugh's story can offer a valuable lesson for kids, because kids are afraid of being offensive.
Get the fuck.
Have you ever met a kid? Have you ever met a human being under the age of 12? Like, talk about poop and pooping and farting and penises and vaginas, and that's
I had a 5-year-old grab my tits the other day and I didn't take him to court over it.
he's an edgy comic.
Ah.
It's true though, like
Hong Kong.
My struggle since childhood into adulthood is to become less offensive over time.
Right.
That's been the thing. Like, I started off as like a shock jock child saying the wildest things to just get reactions out of adults. And then you're kind of like, okay, right, this is not a sustainable form of humor or humor at all. And then you're like, okay, let's let that go. But yeah, the idea that, like, where's that even fake interview where like a 6-year-old's like, and I'm
afraid of being
offensive. I don't want to say fart at school.
Everyone in the preschool canceled me.
yeah. So Dana Loesch, one of our other favorites from the conservative movement, used to, like, probably her most iconic moment was those like NRA videos where right. she was like, they're coming for us. Let's fucking kill people. So she just dropped a children's book because she just gives off that like person you would never leave in charge of your children if someone literally had a gun to your head.
Yeah.
She just dropped a children's
book. A starving wolf and Dana Loesch. Yeah. She'd be like, I'm going to chance it with the wolf.
Yeah. The wolf like probably has a, you know, maternal instinct somewhere in there. So she just dropped a book called Paws Off My Cannon. And it's about a gorilla named Bongo.
Oh, boy.
Who uses a cannon to keep hyenas from stealing his cupcakes, even though his town wants to ban cannons.
Oh, my God.
So it's teaching kids that if someone tries to steal your dessert, you should be allowed to murder them, I guess, is the point.
Yeah, like, I don't know how there's anything aside from using arms to protect your property that anything a child gets out of that.
She dropped a promotional video on Twitter to promote her book, and the video was aimed at small children and featured a moment where a bunch of CGI machine guns take the shape of black wings behind her, turn her into a angel of death.
Yeah.
You know, because kids love that sort of shit.
Yeah, hey, do you want this fucker telling you, reading your kid's bedtime story? Because the fucking machine gun wings? Okay. Yeah. But yeah, that's like the funny thing too, is like, even with these books, right, they try so hard to like sort of normalize or mainstream them, but it's like, they're also so greedy, like, they just insist on selling it in a way that isn't like how most like publishers of kids' books would be, where they're like,
right.
Oh yeah, let me get it to Amazon or let me get it to this place. Rather, it's just going to end up being, yeah, you can buy it from our one website, and you can only buy it from me, and it's also a pyramid scam.
Yeah. These are, so it's part of Brave, like that's the publisher's name. You can be a Brave Mom, which means convincing other families to sign up for the subscription. But don't worry, because for each new subscriber you recruit, you earn valuable Brave Bucks. And yeah, so it's just a pyramid scheme for shitty kids' books.
Brave Bucks. Dude, if you're a brave, and again, so regressive and gender normative, it's got to be the brave moms. That's who we got to go after.
Yeah.
And then it recruit other unwitting, you know, people from your PTA group or whatever to buy a crap book about fucking Ayn Rand or some shit.
Yeah. You can also get a Dan Crenshaw penned book about the dangers of cancel culture set in an underwater city surrounded by seaweed, which offending citizens are expelled via the raft of shame, or a book by Jack Posobiec called The Island of Free Ice Cream about the dangers of socialism.
The Island of Free Ice Cream.
Like, this shit is so dumb, it sounds like bad comedy writing on our part. Like, we're making this up and are the worst comedy writers ever. Like, this sucks.
I will say that any kind of public figure releasing a children's book who, like, their job isn't being a children's book author just reeks to me of, like, I lost a lot of money. And I need a new income stream. Case in point, Jimmy Fallon has a lot of children's books.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you gambling? What's going on, buddy? Like, he has like the dumbest children's books. Like, there's one called This Is Baby. I just remember having to pitch ideas to promo Jimmy Fallon's This Is Baby book and wanting to like walk into the ocean.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good point.
I have one of Jimmy Fallon's baby books, and it was given to us as a gift.
Okay, and sorry.
Okay.
The premise is that the dad animals are trying to get their baby animals to say dada instead of mama.
Okay, so that is a conservative talking point. Father's rights.
Yeah, they're furious. Yeah, they're furious. And then at the end, the kids finally say dada and they're...
And it's too late because he's left them. He's walked out on them.
Yeah, yeah.
They had their chance.
Yeah, fatherhood wasn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for this.
I'm going to just go tussle this fascist's toupee on my show.
Well, Ellie, it has been such a pleasure having you.
Oh, thank you.
On the Daily Zeitgeist, where can people find you and follow you?
I am at ellie-mce-e-l-l-i-e-m-c-e on all socials. That includes TikTok. And my podcast is What's Your Favorite Taylor Swift Song? And that's WYF_TSS on Instagram and variations on that on all the other socials, too.
Beautiful, beautiful.
There you go.
It was so fun to be here.
Oh, yeah, great having you. Glad it worked out. Finally.
Finally.
Is there a tweet or some other work, social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, so I thought it was just tweets, but there was a TikTok that I was obsessed with this week. I'm devastatingly on brand all the time, but it's this this girl. She's this Taylor Swift stan, and part of All Too Well 10-minute version. Have you guys listened?
No. Yes. Some of it.
Okay.
I've heard some of it. Yeah,
not the full 10-minute.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
fine.
Not the
full 10 minutes. Yeah.
It's great. And there's this sort of back half bridge that she says, I was never good at telling jokes, but the punchline goes, all get older, but your lovers stay my age. And it's a really powerful part of the song. It's really great. And it's true. He's like currently dating a 25-year-old and has been for a couple of years. So she was like 23 when they met or something. He's like 40. Mm. Anyway, Jake Gyllenhaal, I mean. But there's this girl who did a TikTok where it goes, I was never good at telling jokes, but the punchline goes. And then just like in a janky voiceover with the audio, she goes, I'll get hotter, but you'll always be 5'8". Yes. That's one of my favorite things about stan culture is just all of the media that goes out that just takes something that's maybe a little too self-serious or deep or something like that, and they just go nuts with it. It's so good.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, the other show, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. Come through for that one if you like 90 Day. Some tweets that I like. First one is from Naomi Ekperigin at Blackdress tweeted, me running into people post-quarantine. How's your baby and your husband? Them. We're divorced and my baby is 7. Me. Okay, bye. And then Jabuki at Jabuki tweeted, I need this booster in me swiftly. No Taylor.
That's great.
I'm going to choose to take that as not shade on Taylor. And I don't think it is.
Nah.
I don't know where Jabuki stands on Taylor Swift. I bet he doesn't care.
I don't know. Nah, he doesn't. He seems like he has bigger fish to fry mentally.
Yeah.
I mean, are there bigger fish, Miles? That's the question that we should all be asking ourselves.
Yeah, and then you have Swifties coming for me like, you're saying there's bigger fish than Taylor Swift? She's bigger than God, homie.
She's pretty big.
Let's see. Tweet, I've been enjoying Jesse at Mama Jesse C tweeted, by the age of 40, you should have 60,000 variations of the same password. Which I do, indeed.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
You might enjoy this one. It's called Look What We Do by Benny Sings and Jones. And it's just a great, like, you know, kind of poppy funk track. I'm trying to think of who I'd compare it to. Like, it's kind of like if you like Steve Lacy or someone like the Kali Uchis stuff, like instrumentally. Backing track wise, it's like that. The vocalist, I'm not gonna say that this is like Cali at all, but it's, you know, if you fuck with that, you're probably gonna like this track. So Look What We Do by Benny Sings.
All right, well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts, from iHeartRadio. Visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.